What's up, Crossover? Where you at tonight? Yeah. Make some noise. We about to get into some hip-hop praise and worship. Praise the one true God tonight. So just help us out like this.
Now listen.
Yeah.
All right.
And welcome to Rock Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. Thanks for joining us tonight. This is the show where we want to challenge, encourage you, but most of all, get you to think. And as you can tell from our intro, things are going to be a little bit different tonight. We're going to talk about church, but we're going to talk about church from a different angle. You know, there's been... I don't know if there's been controversy about church of late, but what with the phenomenon known as the emerging church, and that has stirred up a lot of interest, people are thinking about church in different ways. And tonight we're going to talk about church in a little bit of a different way. We're going to talk about the hip-hop church. And it should be a fascinating discussion, really. It's going to be an interesting show for myself because I'll be kind of taking a back seat, which will be a challenge, I'm sure. And actually, my producer, Steve Madrid, this is something that he is passionate about and something that he wanted to do. So tonight, he's really going to be taking you guys through this exploration of the hip-hop church and what exactly that is and what it means to us as Christians. And I'll probably jump in with some, you know, broader curveball questions every now and then, if that's okay with you, Steve.
Yeah, I'm pretty much expecting you to throw the curveball in there, throw a couple twists in there, Yo, because I know you're really good at that.
Yeah, I don't know where I got this reputation from, but I guess it's not entirely a bad thing. And if you'd like to call in and share in with this conversation, you can always give us a call. 505-338-5790 is our number. If you got questions about the hip-hop church and any of the topics related to what we're going over tonight, feel free to jump in at any time. So, Steve, why don't you give us an introduction to this whole thing, because I'm sure a lot of people are scratching their head going, okay, hip-hop church, why is that Raw Talk worthy?
And this week I was telling people, hey, you know, this week we're going to be talking about hip-hop church, and they're like, wait, what do you mean hip-hop church? And I had to explain it to several people. We're going to get into what it means to be a hip-hop church and what it means to serve God through hip-hop. But first, I just kind of want to give a background for some. For anybody that doesn't know me, they may be like, who's this Steve Madrid guy and what does he know about hip-hop, you know, kind of thing. So just want to kind of give my background. I've been DJing for several years. And I was DJing, you know, I've been DJing for 12 years, and you know, I was DJing in the clubs, in the bars, the party scene, that kind of thing. And when I was in and of the world, and I was doing that, and as God started to work on my heart, I realized that wasn't the place for me. That I need to stay away from bad influences and that kind of thing. So you know, as God started working at my heart, I stopped DJing at those kind of places, completely separated from, you know, the drugs and alcohol and all that kind of scene. And I was kind of like, you know, God, what do you want me to do with this? And as I was learning more about what it means to follow Christ, I was also confused, and I missed DJing. So I was figured, well, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? And so I started thinking, you know, well, what do DJs do? Well, they make mixtapes, mix CDs. So what I had planned to do was get, you know, the hottest, coolest top 40 hip hop, make mix CDs, you know, pass them out on the street, sell them on the street, kind of do that thing. And God stopped me. He said, no, that's not what I want you to do. And completely shut all the doors on that. And to this day, I'm so thankful for that. And as God started working on my heart and I accepted Christ, I was ready to throw away all my records, throw away all my equipment and just be like, you know, it's over. You know, I'm done DJing. That's it. And right around that time is when I accepted Christ and actually ran into Steve-O, our very own M88 Steve-O at Hastings. And I talked to him for a while about how he's doing radio. And it's pretty crazy because this was like a few days after I got saved, maybe like a week at the most. So like we talked a lot. And anyway, a few weeks later, I guess he knew this group called the Alumni. And they said that they had been looking for a DJ. And so they contacted me and we hooked up with them. And they needed a DJ to perform with them at Freedom Fest. So it was like as soon as I dedicated my life to Christ, I really saw God work through it and say, hey, you know, you don't have to give this up. This is a talent and you can use it for me. So anyway, I just want to give a quick background about that. And the first time I heard about a hip hop church, I was like, you know, what is it? You know, like a lot of people ask me. And so I started to research it, found out that Urban D had a church in, the rapper Urban D had a church in Tampa, Florida called The Crossover. And, you know, they have a b-boy ministry, breakdancing ministry, and quite ironic.
A breakdancing ministry.
A breakdancing ministry. And you know what?
Wow.
And you know what's ironic is they have a graffiti ministry.
Nuh-uh.
And, yeah.
Do
and
they
that,
really?
That's something I wanted to, bring up. One of the questions is, you know, how can God take something that was originally, illegal and use it for his glory? So we'll get into that in a little bit.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, man. That should be intense. And then, so, I heard about this church, the Urban D launch in Tampa, Florida, and just recently I heard about the legendary Curtis Blow launched a hip-hop church in New York, so I started to research it. And for those people that don't know who Curtis Blow is, here's just a little bit of background. In 1979, at the age of 20, Curtis Blow became the first rapper to be signed to a major label. As far as I know, the first rapper to release a Christmas rap song called Christmas Rappin', and it sold 400,000 copies. After that, followed up with The Breaks. He released 10 albums in 11 years. And in 1996, he was inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And as co-founder of Hip Hop Church, Curtis serves as rapper, DJ, worship leader. And interesting quote I saw on his website was, "Don't get it twisted. God has always existed," Curtis says. And in terms of these young people out here who love God but do not like to go to church, only hip hop can bring them back to the church. And on the line with us, we got the co-founder with Curtis Blow to launch the Hip Hop Church, Darren Ferguson. Darren, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Darren, how you doing tonight?
Fine. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, I couldn't hear you. I couldn't hear anything that's been going on for the last 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. We were just talking behind your back, but we said really good things.
I was just kind of giving a background about
great.
How...
Great. So could you guys bring me up to speed?
Well, we just introduced Steve Madrid, shared his testimony, talked a little bit about Curtis Blow and how he was a founder of the Hip Hop Church. And now we come to you, my friend Darren, as one of the co-founders of the Hip Hop Church. And one of the first things I think we want to cover here is, what is a hip hop church? Because, you know, a lot of people are probably scratching their heads about that, and they're probably wondering, and why do I want to hear a whole show about this?
Well, I think it's important because what a hip hop church is, it's really a church that worships God using hip hop culture, using dance, using rap, using an up-tempo music, using all of those things that are attractive to young people. And and I think it's extremely important, and I think we should be talking about it because, you know, a lot of our mainline denominational churches are dying slow deaths, and they're dying because there's no energy, there's no vibrance there, and that vibrance can be brought back to the church through our young people.
Yeah. And how would you feel about some people saying that hip-hop church is just one more form of this phenomenon known as the emerging church? Would you say that the hip-hop church fits into that classification?
Oh, definitely. And it's part of the emerging church because I think that the church as we know it has undergone transformation after transformation over the 2,000 year or so history of the Christian church. And the reason for that is because humanity changes. God doesn't change, but we change. Our context changes. Our technology changes. Our understanding of the world and where we fit in it changes. And the way the gospel is preached and presented has to change as well. So it's definitely part of the emerging church. And I think it's an important part of the emerging church that this should be celebrated and not looked at with disdain or suspicion.
And let us know kind of how you guys launched the church and how it came about and where you saw the need and that sort of thing.
Hello.
Hey, Darren, why don't you tell us a little bit about why you thought this was the way to get this started? I mean, what was the need that you saw for this church and what was your inspiration behind doing this?
Well, my inspiration behind it is first and foremost, I was a church kid. As a little boy, you know, I was the kid that wore the little funny suits and the little hard shoes to Sunday school and was the one who was called on to make all the presentations on Easter Sunday and stuff. And when I got to a certain age, I became disinterested with the church because the church wasn't speaking my language. some things happened in my life. I saw some people who were great church people die, and I thought that the church was no longer for me. I went through high school, and then at a young age, in my mid-20s, I was incarcerated for 8 years. And during my incarceration, one of the things that I did was, first of all, I got college educated and seminary trained in college. New York Theological Seminary had a seminary program where I was incarcerated in New York. And then the next thing I did was I became a part of a program at Sing Sing Correctional Facility called YAP, which is the Youth Awareness Program. In that program, they started bringing in young people who were headed the same way that we had headed. And I got to talk to them and tell them about my experience. My job in that program was to kind of give my testimony. And in doing that, I saw the need for young people to hear the gospel in relative terms, to understand somebody to understand it from a street level or from a young person's level. And as I started doing that, when I was released from prison in 1998, I went into full-time ministry at the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem. And when I got there, I saw that the services that they had set up there that were supposed to be for young people wasn't speaking to the young people. And there weren't many young people present in church. So I started a thing called FLAVOR, which stands for Freedom, Love, and Abundant Youth Victory Alliance. I started that, and it was a hip-hop tinged worship service twice a month. And it was greatly successful. And when I saw how the young people responded to it, when I saw how they were coming to altar call, how they were saying, wow, why can't church be like this on Sunday? Then I started seeing that there is a need for that. It doesn't mean that we do away with the traditional church, but it means that the traditional church has to open its heart and its mind to do something new because the old way is not working in terms of our young people.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, that we don't need to do away with the traditional church, because there are some people who are very, I don't know, concerned or threatened by some of this emerging church movement. And, you know, they kind of feel like, well, the emerging church is doing things that are not biblical. You know, there's a lot of relativism in the emerging church, you know, saying, well, traditional church is too narrow to tell people that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. Oh, no, let's expand that a little bit. Now, why don't you address that issue? I mean, how does the hip hop church fit in with that side of it? Are you guys very relativistic, or do you bring the gospel and say, look, this is the way it is, but you're just trying to relate it in a different way?
Yeah, I mean, we're not compromising the gospel. You know, we preach the same scripture. We use the same Bible. We have the same principles, the same beliefs. But it's just all in presentation. You know, it's just like there's some people who go to the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church is what appeals to them spiritually, or the Episcopalian Church, or the Baptist Church, or the Pentecostal Church. And the hip-hop church, I think, I wouldn't say it's a denomination, but it's just another option. You know, each church has its own way of presenting the gospel, and wherever you feel comfortable, wherever you find God, wherever you can see Jesus more clearly, that's where you should be going to church.
And Darren, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. We had a little problem there. I was talking to you and you couldn't hear me, but I was just going to ask you, for most of us, probably everybody listening, I'm not sure too many of us have been to a hip-hop church. Kind of paint a picture of what a service would be like.
The services, you know, we come in, sometimes we may have a processional, but instead of doing, you know, one of those normal processional hymns, we'll have a rap. We use songs like Jesus Walks, and we have the young people involved in our rap group. They'll do rap verses over that as we process in. Or we'll do a song, and we do worship and praise, or we'll do a devotional-type service where there's music. But the music is, again, some of it is up-tempo, some of it's slow. But it's always something that's going to be appealing to the young people. And then after that, you know, it's pretty much a normal order of service. Instead of having hymns, though, we may have a rap, or we'll have a song. The choir performed. There's no dress code, so the young people can pretty much come dressed however they want. Our only rules about dresses for the boys, no hats in the sanctuary, and no gang colors, and no shirts or anything displaying profanity on it. And it's basically a regular service. There's an offering. The preacher preaches. You know, it's usually myself, or at the hip-hop church when Reverend Pogue was there on Thursday nights, or Reverend Campbell, or Curtis Blow. And when we do our Friday night flavor service, it's me. So it pretty much follows the the order of service of a traditional church service. It's just the elements look and sound different.
And you brought up an interesting point about the way you dress in church, and that's something I wanted to ask. And you can come in on our show and dial 505-338-5790. 505-338-5790 and talk about that. Because one of the things that Urban D, the pastor, lead pastor of Crossover Church, was talking about is about making it relevant to the young people. And that's a question I wanted to ask is what can you wear to church and what can you not wear to church? And, you know, would a certain dress code stop you from going into a church? And that's something that that Urban D was talking about. And also want to ask you about how you about identity in hip hop and finding identity in Christ. Do you think that there's a way to do both of those?
Yes, I do. And you know, well, let's address the dress code thing first. You know, especially in New York City where I'm from, a lot of young people in Harlem, South Bronx, Brooklyn, you know, different places we do so. Some of those young people don't own a suit, don't own a pair of shoes. They own jeans and Tims and throwback jerseys and all of that's fine. And in terms of the young ladies, the girls who are involved in the choir, involved in the actual ministry, you know, just make sure if you have on jeans that they're appropriate, they're not too tight, no low riders, no belly showing, no cleavage showing. You know, keep it respectful, but you can wear basically whatever you want to wear as long as you keep it respectful. And if someone who's not involved in the ministry comes in and I feel that they're a little bit too provocative, I'll address it right there during the service. And I don't address it in a way where I'm coming down on the young person, but I address it in the sense that, you know, I'm saying I love you and your dress sends a message. Now, the message also, and now we're talking about hip-hop and how we can identify as a Christian and being part of hip-hop. I listen to some hip-hop, and some of it I'm appalled by, and some of it I love. I mean, personally, right now, I'm feeling this kid Lupe Fiasco out of Chicago, and I like Kanye West. I mean, you know, I would love to do away with all the profanity, but I understand it is what it is. But I think hip-hop should say something. I grew up in an era, you know, when it was Curtis Blow and Grandmaster Flash, Grand Wizard Theodore, you know, Run DMC. I grew up with all of these guys, and those guys didn't curse. And they didn't need to curse, and it wasn't necessary for them to curse. Keeping it real wasn't, you know, keeping it profane or keeping it misogynist. Keeping it real just meant we talk the way we talk in the streets. And it wasn't necessary for every other word to be an N-word or an F-word. It wasn't necessary to drop any of that stuff. And I think that what we're doing as the hip-hop church is saying, yeah, you can be hip-hop and you don't have to curse. You don't have to disrespect for women. You don't have to talk. Yeah, you can be talk about reality and talk about what you see every day. But what you see every day doesn't have to include all of these bombs that just offend people without, you know, without any type of responsibility. And then we're sending the message to the mainstream hip-hop community that there is an avenue for you if you're insulted by some of what's saying. It's just not about a good beat. Yet the words are important as well.
Well, if any of you listening have a question for Darren, have a question about the hip-hop church and any of these topics that we brought up so far, give us a call, 505-338-5790, if you have a question about this. Now, Darren, let me ask, with this hip-hop church, do you think that... do you think that the church is just becoming too much of a marketplace kind of church, you know, where people are constantly shopping for the, you know, perfect church experience? And unless they find it, well, then they're not going to go to church, you know. You know, it's like the Starbucks popping up everywhere, and you know, they try to serve everyone. You know, our marketplace, the commercial place, has become very much about what the consumer wants. We'll do whatever necessary to make you happy. And some people feel that church is kind of following that trend with the emerging church, with some of the other things that happened on large mega churches where they have bookstores, coffee shops, all this type of stuff. It's becoming a very consumer-driven mentality. Is the hip? Do you see the hip-hop church along those lines? And if so, how does that dilute the message of the gospel at all?
Well, in terms of, I agree with you wholeheartedly about the emerging church and a lot of the mega churches. It just seems like it's a marketplace. Let me sell my book. Let me sell my CD. Let me give you some coffee. We got a restaurant. We got a daycare center. We got, and that's great if that's what you want. But in terms of the hip-hop church, first of all, we can't be a marketplace-oriented church because most of the people who attend our church don't have any money. I mean, you know, when we did a launch of Friday Night Flavor outside of Abyssinian a year and a half ago, we had over 1,000 people out that night, but the offering wasn't $1,000. So it wasn't even a dollar per person. So the hip hop church, I think, appeals to people on a sense of just realness. Mm-hmm. On the sense of it is what it is. It's on a real basic, down to earth, speak your language in your face type of level. And there is an issue with churches becoming marketplaces. I don't see if there's nothing wrong with marketing your ministry, but when the marketing of your ministry becomes the ministry, then it's a problem. And when, you know, you have so many members in the church that you can't get any pastoral care because it's just not possible to care for that many people, then it's something to think about. But again, with any church, it's what you want and what you need from it. Some people feel comfortable going to church on Sunday, hearing a message, leaving, coming back the next week, going to a concert, come back the next week, and have no contact with the ministerial staff. But for those people who need to have more, then there's plenty of other options.
And you were talking earlier about, growing up listening to Run DMC and Grandmaster Flash and all those artists. And I was going to ask you, what do you think about the concept that the church is taking back hip-hop? Because hip-hop is, you know, a foundation of, you know, the elements of, breakdancing and MCing and DJing and all that. And if you look at the foundation of what hip-hop is, it's basically, you know, three things. It's a beat. Someone on the mic boasting, and audience response and call. And if you look at, I actually saw a movie, is a secular hip hop documentary called Rhyme and Reason. And, they talked about this and they showed clips from, early African American, churches. And this is exactly what they're doing. They had the beat, which was a chorus behind them. One person on the mic boasting, which of course boasting about Jesus Christ, and the audience response and call, and that sort of thing. So in a way, do you think the church is taking back hip hop?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. That's one of the things that I learned when I met Curtis Blow in 2004. Was one of the first things he said to me was only God can redeem hip hop. And I agree. And you're absolutely right. The call and response and all that stuff comes right out of the church. Before throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. You know, folks in the church said, let me hear you say yeah. If you love the Lord, say yeah. And that in and of itself is some of the elements of what we do in the hip hop church. We get the people involved. You're not sitting there getting preached to. You're getting ministered to, and then you're ministering back, and everybody ministers to everybody. So yeah, we are redeeming hip hop, and I believe that when people hear that there can be hip hop that's market, has the same market standard, the same production quality as what these guys, Jay-Z and all these guys, are putting out, and you can hear something these guys have, my daughter's in the rap group, and lyrically, these kids are just incredible. And when people get to hear that on a mainstream basis, when people get to hear that all over the country, they're going to say, well, good. I don't have to listen to somebody dropping B-bombs and F-bombs and N-bombs all over the song. I can listen to something that appeals to me spiritually, and especially for young people who do love God but also love hip-hop.
And something, I don't know if you guys do this at your church, but I know at the Crossover Church in Tampa, Florida, they have the different ministries. They have the DJ ministry, they have the rap ministry, and then they have the breakdancing ministry, but they also have a graffiti ministry, which I thought was pretty interesting. I don't know if you guys have this, but what do you think about taking something like graffiti, which was originally illegally done on, you know, subway cars in New York City, taking something illegally that was originally illegal and using it as a ministry? What do you think about that?
I think that's a wonderful thing, and I think that's something the church has always done. I mean, Christianity was an illegal religion to begin with. I mean, you know, the Jews were the religion that was recognized by Rome, which is part of the reason why Jesus was crucified. And again, I don't want to get into, I'm not anti-Semitic at all, but I mean, if you just look at historically, the Jewish religion was a legal religion. So Christianity has always dealt with the disenfranchised and what was outside of the purvey of what people thought was right. So, yeah, I think graffiti is a great thing. And look, I'd rather see graffiti that glorifies God done on canvas or done on walls where people want to see it than to see it on my building or see it on my mailbox like I do sometime in East Harlem. I'd rather see it as a redemptive form of creative expression for young people than rather see them going to jail because they spray painted on somebody's house.
We're going to take a quick break here, Darren, and then we're going to come back and we'll chat a little bit more about the hip-hop church and whether or not it's something, you know, I don't, I'm not going to insult you in any way or not, but the question's going to come up, is that really church? You know, I mean, there's some people I'm sure are going to have that kind of question,
mm-hmm.
and so we'll dive into that. And Steve Madrid also brought up an interesting point about can something like this just lead people back into some of the bad stuff that they got into with secular hip-hop? You know, when are we crossing the line? So I want to discuss those things with you when we come back from our break. All right, Darren?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, hang on. And, again, appreciate you so much for joining us for this. And we'll get back, and we'll take your calls as well. 505-338-5790, Raw Talk, here on M88.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here. Chief Pete! Church up in here. Come on, chat.
It's Raw Talk here on M88. Tonight we're talking about the hip-hop church and some of the other things that kind of get rolled in with when you focus on a church like this. You know, what is church? What makes a church a church? And when does a church start to cross a line where it blurs the line between church and pop culture? And we're going to get into some of those questions with Darren, one of the co-founders of the hip-hop church. And Darren, thanks so much for taking some time out and joining us tonight. I find all this very fascinating, what we've gone over so far.
I'm loving it, so this is great for me, too.
All right, cool. Well, we got a couple callers on the line, so let's find out what our lovely listeners have to say. First up, it's Tara, and thanks for calling in to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Well, first of all, I have to say, Darren, God bless your ministry. That is awesome.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. My question is, do you address the issues that face our culture today, such as premarital sex and drugs? And I noticed you do the language, you know, with the music. That's awesome.
Right.
And the profanity and, you know, all sorts of those things.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course, we have to. I mean, you know, we had a service on Friday night, and my sermon was entitled God is Not a Deadbeat Dad.
Mm.
And the reason that's important is because, you know, some of the young people do have deadbeat dads.
Right.
And they need to understand that their Heavenly Father cares intimately about what they go through every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we touch on things like, you know, premarital sex, pregnancy, AIDS and STDs. We talk about marijuana use. We talk about alcoholism and all of those different things. And those are things that we have to talk about because those are the things that are not talked about a lot of times in the mainstream church in any way that relates to young people.
Right.
So if you're not talking about this stuff, then you're doing yourself God and the children a disservice.
Right.
Does that answer your question, Tara?
It does. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in to Ron Talk. We appreciate it. You have a great night, okay?
Bye.
All right, bye. And next up, we have Mike. Mike, welcome to Ron Talk, and what do you have to say?
I just have a quick comment. I'm actually a hip-hop artist myself, Christian hip-hop artist, and I went to this a convention. It's called The Connection. It was all just for hip-hop, Christian artists. Well, not just hip-hop, all genres of music. And I just got so turned off at this thing, I didn't even want to do the music anymore. I got up there, and I thought that had a good message in my song, and I thought I was just, you know, spreading God's word. And I come to find out I got to speak with a bunch of really, really high-up industry people. And to them, it was just all about money, you know. They knew I wouldn't be able to make the money, so they just, you know, pretty much turned me down. You know, your lyrics are lame. Your beat is, you're just off. You need to work so much harder. And it just turned me off. It's like, I'm not up there to make money. I'm up there to spread God's word. And now, I just turn on this hip-hop church thing, and I just hear about, it's not making money. It's about spreading God's word, exactly what I want to do. And I just think it's so awesome. Like, it's just awesome. I can't believe, like, I'm actually hearing this on the radio. I know there's plenty of other people, but I'm just so, like, excited to hear on the radio. And this is, like, something so big. And I just want to just tell you, it's awesome. I really, like, just appreciate it as an artist. You know, people out there trying to do the same thing as me, trying to get heard. It's just awesome.
You got any response for that, Darren?
Oh, yeah. God bless you, brother. And, you know, one of the things that I found out, you know, doing some things that, you know, I sing as well. We have a choir, and I direct the choir. And one of the things that I found out is that sometimes dealing with people in the gospel music industry is just like dealing with people in the secular music industry, because what we have to remember is they're lifting up the name of Jesus in their songs, but it's still a business.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the reasons I went into the studio about a year ago and recorded 4 or 5 songs. And, you know, started shopping around for a deal for the songs because I thought they were good, and a lot of people did. But I got the same response. I got so turned off by dealing with the industry people. I said, you know what? I'm just going to put this out as an independently released CD. Let people, if they want to make a donation, a $10 donation to our ministry, I'll mail them a CD wherever they want it. And if we make money from it, great. And if we don't, we don't, because it's not about the business. It's about the ministry.
And I think anytime it comes to Christian culture and entertainment, you know, it comes to the question of quality. And I know that Christian music has always kind of been a little bit, just one step behind mainstream music. And when I went to saying 5 steps. And when I went to Nashville for GMA convention, there's a lot of hip hop convention, and they were saying, hey, what can we do to step up the quality of the music? And that was a big issue there. And some people were saying, hey, you know, if you don't have a good studio and you don't have a quality way of putting out quality music, don't do it yet until you can. And you know, I don't agree with the way they shut you down, because there can be a way of saying, hey, we want you to put out a quality product and doing it in love. The way they talk to you about it, it didn't seem right. And anytime there's money involved, that's when it gets, you know, it gets a little iffy there.
Yeah. Right. The good thing is there's so many technological advances in studio stuff that a lot of people are setting up home studios and getting basically the same, you know, almost the same quality that they're getting in the big name studios. So I think that's going to change over time. And it's just a matter of waiting for the technology to cheapen so people can afford it. And then there'll be more opportunities.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for calling in, man. I hope you were encouraged by some of the comments that were made tonight. And you have a great evening. All right, man.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
And if you have a question or comment that you'd like to toss into the hat here tonight as we talk with Darren, one of the co-founders of the Hip Hop Church, 505-338-5790. If you got something you want to know, and even if it's something as simple as asking what I want to ask, something that's been on my mind. Now, Darren, let me just say, I'm big on the church being relative and relatable and, you know, being able to identify with today's pop culture. But I'm sure it's on some people's minds. When is the line crossed? You know, you have the hip hop church, you do the rap and all this type of stuff. And is there any concern, or how do you determine when you're becoming, you know, too much a reflection of the world as opposed to a reflection of Christ? How do you know where the line is between church and pop culture?
Oh, that's real simple for me. For me, the line is crossed the minute you're doing something that does not bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
The minute the dancing becomes provocative rather than an expression of praise.
Mm-hmm.
The minute the songs become you know, more worldly than they are about, you know, God. And that doesn't mean that you can't do a testimony in a song, but it means that the song in and of itself has to have a redemptive quality to it. So the minute you do that, and we have not done that, we will not allow that. If there's a artist or someone who wants to come in and minister, I want to hear their music up front. I want to know a little bit about them, because just like no pastor would have anybody come preach in their pulpit, not everybody can just come rap in my pulpit. So the minute it doesn't glorify God, that line is crossed and we shut it down immediately. But thank God we have a core group of about 30 kids. Hello?
Hi, yeah, I'm here. We're here.
Okay. So you know, we have a core group of about 30, and they're really sold out to the Lord, so I don't have to worry about that stuff.
And what do you guys do as far as outreach and that sort of thing?
We're getting a lot of background noise.
Oh, okay.
I'm hearing somebody else talking. Anyway, what we do in terms of outreach is we hand out a lot of flyers. I have a website, and I always direct people to the website that gives them the information. You know, we go to a lot of different churches because there's a need. So we're at our church maybe one Friday a month. The Hip Hop Church proper meets every Thursday night, but Friday Night Flavor, which is the service that I run, we move all over the city. We've been as far down as Baltimore, as far out, we're going out to Pennsylvania. We'll be out in New Jersey next Sunday. And we just, as much as we can, because, you know, kids are in school, we just love to travel. So that's our outreach. And our outreach is in the people that we meet and talk to every day. I'm constantly going to schools and to different churches and universities to talk about what I do, and that's our outreach.
And we also got somebody on the line that's in hip-hop ministry. He's with Holy Culture Radio. His name is Milton. Is he on the line?
Milton, welcome to Rod Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, what's going on, yo?
Not a whole lot. Were you saying my name, or were you just going, hey, what's going on, yo?
No, I'm saying your name.
Okay, because I get confused with that sometimes.
I met you at the Disciple concert.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, yeah, but I think this is a really cool discussion. I've been to a hip-hop church in Tampa, Pastor Urban D, Flavor Fest.
The crossover church, we were talking about that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, crossover community, and I usually go there every year for an event. Like Madrid was saying, I'm involved with hip-hop ministry, Holy Culture Radio, and I thought it was a pretty cool thing they were doing out there. I know I was a little concerned about the hip-hop church a little bit, because I was a little concerned about, you know, maybe it might take the focus off the Lord a little bit, you know, because folks might focus a little bit more on hip-hop a little bit. But I definitely understand, and I see the need for it at the same time. But I definitely have some concerns about it as far as, you know, the focus. You know, it might be diverted from, you know, the Lord and everything. But also I wanted to add to what Madrid was talking about earlier as far as, you know, the quality of music that's out right now. And I think there's a movement of holy hip-hop artists now that, you know, are putting out really real quality material.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, and like you said, I think, you know, you're right. Like, you can put together some real quality stuff, and you don't even need, like, a lot of really good equipment, you know. And I definitely seen that from being in Philly and seeing the Cross Movement. You know, they don't have this big technologically advanced equipment, but, you know, these guys really put out some real quality stuff. So,
yeah.
Hey, but also, I just appreciate you guys doing Raw Talk. Yo, you're doing a great job. And, you know, I mean, the show is great, man. I mean, I think Steve-O was right. I mean, this is probably like the best Raw Talk's ever been. I mean, it's great, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Milton, man. I appreciate the encouragement, and thanks for calling in, all right?
Hey, Milton, I got one question for you.
All right.
Let us know a couple, just maybe a few hip-hop artists or groups that you're really digging, that really putting out really good quality Christ-centered hip-hop. Let us know about maybe just one or two groups or single artists that you've really been listening to a lot lately.
A lot lately, honestly, I've been listening to, and I encourage everyone to listen to and check out their website at Lamp Mode Recordings, or actually lampmode.com, and that's lampmode.com. And they put out real didactic or teaching hip-hop that really exhorts, encourages, edifies believers. And they actually just put out a new project by an artist by the name of R. Swift, and they're really doing a lot of great things out there. That's probably those are probably like the label that I'm really listening to right now, and particularly mm-hmm. a gentleman by the name of Timothy Brindle.
Yeah.
And he puts out really good quality didactic stuff. So definitely check out the website lampmode.com.
Hey Milton, thanks a lot, man. You have a great evening. All right.
You too, yo.
All right. Take care, Milton. Hey, Darren, if I could jump in on. Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say, what would you have to say about Milton's concern about, with a hip-hop church, the focus becoming too much on the hip-hop and not the gospel?
Well, he's exactly right. And that's why I think that there needs to be, when we do these types of services, we start these types of movements, there need to be some trained clergy people involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And not just trained clergy people who are going to, you know, try to make it, you know, mainstream church, but clergy people who have a love for what they're doing, like myself. I'm a graduate of New York Theological Seminary, and I'm returned to New York Theological Seminary to, and I'm going all the way through to my doctorate, hopefully in the next couple of years.
Wow, cool.
And one of the reasons that I think that's important is because then the training that I'm receiving now gives me the mindset to be able to keep what we're doing focused on God. Hip hop is the tool. Hip hop is the delivery mode, but hip hop is not the center of what we do. It's not about hip hop. It's about Jesus. We just happen to be using hip hop as a finger to point towards the Lord. So, and you do have, as the brother was saying, there are some great artists out there. I'm good friends and have become good friends with the Pentecostal Papa BBJ, who's one of the first gospel rappers out there a few years back, and he's sold out for the Lord. He came to one of our services in Queens a couple of months ago. And you can hear the brother. I mean, his beats are impeccable. The production quality is top shelf, but the message is clear. We believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. We believe in no other God but the God of Jesus. We are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And the proof in the pudding is at the end of every service, there are scores of young people crying, broken on the altar, asking God for deliverance, for healing, asking God to walk with them and talk with them, asking God to bring families back together. And when you see that, every service that I see that, I said, this is why I do what I do. This is why I'm not afraid to make people in my church mad because they think, oh, you all about the young people. This is why, like some of my minister friends are driving around in Lexuses and got private jets, and I'm driving around in a broke-down Ford Explorer, but I'm doing it because it's for the love of God, and I don't care about the money. I care about the people. And when you care about the people, they can feel that. They receive that. And that's the thing that's always been appealing about hip-hop is because it's just like the kids say, yo, you feeling me, son? You feeling me? And when we go to hip-hop church, inevitably everybody says, yes, I'm feeling you, but I'm feeling you, Lord, not Darren, not Hell's Most Wanted, not the Soldiers of Praise. I'm feeling you, Lord. And when you can get to that point, my God, it's exciting, and it makes me just so motivated to continue to do what I'm doing.
That's fresh. Let's move on to our next caller. We have Randa on the line. Randa, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Well, I just wanted to say I'm actually new to the whole church thing, and I just barely learned the love of God and everything like that, and I just think it's really awesome that you can get out there and put a new way to worship the Lord. I guess it's kind of a new way, you know what I mean, a new thing, one more way to get kids into the church, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
show them at a younger age, because I'm 18 now, and like I said, I'm just barely learning this stuff, you know what I mean, and I just think it's, you know what I mean, so awesome to have that, and I wish I would have had that at a younger age, and I think that, you know what I mean, you can definitely attract a lot of the younger kids with this type of thing. And I think that's beautiful, and I just wanted to, you know, thank you for that, I guess, and I wish I would have had that opportunity.
Well, thanks, Randa. I appreciate you calling in and sharing that, and you know what? It's never too late to come to the Lord, and I'm glad that you're on your way, and I hope you stick with it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad, too.
All right.
And, y'all have a good night.
You too, Randa. Thanks for calling in.
You too.
All right, next up. Yeah, go ahead, Darren.
I just wanted to say to the sister, it's never too late. And if she's 18, you know, she said, I wish that I had it, but you do have it now.
Yeah.
You just have to fuck it.
Yeah. Next up, we have Justin on the line. Justin, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, man. I was just, actually, my pastor had done a sermon on music and contemporary music. And he was saying that, you know, regardless of what the message is in the music itself can be, you know, somewhat drives you to do, like, different things. It sets something off within yourself. You know what I mean? Regardless of the words or anything, if you just take away the words. Like, even I used to listen to heavy metal in a band called Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And in their book, you know, it had a little note that said, you know, one of their albums is named Diablos in Musica, which is the devil in music. And back in the mid-ages, they used to play a certain notes that weren't, that sounded evil, and they call it the devil in music. And I was just wondering, you know, what do you guys think about that?
What do you think, Darren?
Well, I think that, you know, as with anything, music has a spirit attached to it. And I think that when music is conceived, you know, when I write songs, I feel like I'm conceiving something, and I'm giving birth to something. And I think if something is conceived in love and conceived in the spirit of God, then it will birth into the world in that same spirit. And if something is conceived in evil and conceived to go out to commit evil, then it will do that. So I do understand the concern. And even, you know, there's some debate within our church even, you know, because some of the rappers, they like to do what they call flipping a song. What they mean, they take a contemporary beat and put a gospel rhyme over it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's problematic in that, you know, the young people are hearing the beat and they know the song that it comes from, and they're in church reciting the words that are played on the radio and not the words that the rappers are saying.
Exactly.
So one of the things that we're trying to do is move completely away from that, so that all of our beats and everything are not secular at all. They're conceived and birthed in the love of Christ, and they'll be received that same way.
And I agree with that, because if you were to take a Christian lyric a cappella and put it over, you know, something like a Snoop Dogg beat, and maybe somebody hadn't heard that beat and they're like, oh, what is that beat? That's hot. Well, I'm going to go find out what that is. And then they find out it's Snoop Dogg and go buy a Snoop Dogg album. You know,
right.
Me as a DJ, did I expose them to the wrong kind of music? So I completely agree with you. And one thing about Justin's comment, I think, you know, as artists, if we're making music and we're inspired by God, and we're prayerfully making, you know, biblical music, you know, whether it's hip hop or gospel or reggae or whatever we're doing, it's inspired by God, and I don't think there's any way for the enemy to come in and make these kind of noises or notes that he was talking about.
Right.
Hey Justin, thanks for calling in, man. I was hoping that particular issue would come up tonight, so I appreciate you raising that. All right.
All right, man.
All right. Have a good evening, Justin. Now, Darren, let's go back to that issue that Steve Madrid brought up about what are the dangers, or are there any dangers of using hip-hop, you know, to draw people into the gospel, but it's something that they're so familiar with. Is there any danger that it could cause people to go back to, you know, that type of lifestyle, despite the fact that we're trying to use hip-hop and, you know, I'm with some of the stuff I do, podcasting and whatnot, using movies and mm-hmm. books and other stuff to, you know, try and illustrate the gospel. But what do you think are some of the dangers of using that, and could it cause people to stumble?
Wow, that's a real deep question. It's deep because, you know, I have an answer, but I don't know if it's the answer. And my answer is that, you know, in my particular experience, in my ministry, most of the young people who come to the hip-hop church are coming out of that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a marked difference between seeing the culture of, misogyny against women and racial hatred and, you know, violence and anger and all of that stuff, and coming to an environment that's about love and about peace and about sharing and about community. So in that sense, no, there's no danger. But I think that one of the things that all hip-hop ministries need to do is understand why they're doing what they do. If you're doing what you do because you want to do something different, and you're trying to set yourself apart, and you're trying to be the new kid on the block doing this new thing that's going to bring a bunch of people in and draw attention to yourself, then that's going to eventually lead somebody astray because the intentions are impure to begin with. But I think if you're pure intentioned in that, what you're really trying to do is bring the gospel to people, and the focus is the gospel, the focus is Christ.
The focus is God. The focus is righteousness. The focus is truth. If you keep your focus and it's clear in everything that you say and everything that you do and everything that you put out that this is what you're about, then people will, I think that people will understand where you are, and they won't, and they, people are going to stray because people are people, but they're not going to stray because of what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you want to join in on our conversation, if you have a question or comment for Reverend Darren Ferguson, co-founder of the Hip Hop Church in New York, give us a call at 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. And one of the reasons that that last question came up is because, you know, when I got saved, I was ready to cut off everything that I knew. You know, I was ready to cut off hip hop, DJing, going anywhere that there's that sort of thing, because I knew it could lead me back. But the reason we were wondering about that question is because I wondered if there was a hip hop church at the time, you know, if I would have, you know, completely cut it off, or if I would have went to the hip hop church. And I think that that's why it's relevant. And now that, you know, I learned what it means to have a walk with Jesus Christ, I can go to, you know, the hip hop events and be a light in a dark place without, you know, without being sucked in onto to the bad elements of hip hop, because there actually are a lot of good, positive people in hip hop that don't know Jesus.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. This is really important, is that the hip hop churches, the hip hop church movement has to not just be a preaching and a singing and a rapping ministry. It has to be a teaching ministry. Because I think that, you know, a lot of people don't understand is salvation and there's deliverance. And the two are not the same. You know, you become saved, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the deliverance aspect is to bring you out of those things in the world that kept you from being saved in the first place. So you can become saved and be an alcoholic and still drink. But the deliverance comes in because God will help you to be delivered from your alcoholism. So I think it's really important that we have a teaching ministry to go right hand in hand with what we do, in order to make sure that people don't get it twisted and understand what we're trying to do and understand who they are as Christians and how to function as a Christian and understanding what the gifts of the Spirit are. All of those things are essentially important to what we do.
And as we have only about 8 more minutes, but we still have time for a call at 505-338-5790, 505-338-5790. If someone has a question for you, because we will be podcasting this, and it'll be on the website m88.org for people to listen to at a later time. If somebody wants to contact you or have questions for you or find out more about the Hip Hop Church, how can someone get a hold of you?
Sure. Our website is www.luke418.org. That's LUKE418.org, or www.hiphopchurch.org. Those are the two websites. You can get our phone number and our contact information. If you go to the Luke 418 site, you can go right to my MySpace page, and I check it every day. I'm a MySpace head now, because it's a great way to keep in touch with young people. So that's why I'd love, welcome anybody to call. You can go on the website or on the Soldiers of Praise MySpace page, which you can get through the Luke 418 site and hear some of the music. And so that's one of the great things about the internet. You can reach out to people all over the world.
Why Luke 418? What's the significance of that?
The Luke 418 scripture is where Jesus announced his public ministry.
Okay.
He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and to recover your sight to the blind, and deliverance to the captives." And at the time that I first read that scripture, I was in prison, and I needed to hear that. And so that's it, because that's what our ministry does: preach deliverance to the captives, recover your sight to the blind, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
All right, well, we got time for one more caller. We have Lewis on the line. Lewis, welcome to Ron Talk. What do you have to say?
Just a comment about the hip hop or the dangers that there would be in that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I don't think so, because I'm not gonna point fingers or anything. But on M88, most of the music that's played is soft rock or heavy metal or something. Mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, let's put it like this:
he's taking a bath or something.
Hip hop and both heavy metal rock, mm-hmm. They both have a bad background as in drugs and gangs or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to speak for myself. I came up from the streets a little bit, not too much. But I'm going to say that I would like, hip-hop is, I would consider more hip-hop. I don't like rock, but ever since I started listening to M88, listening to the music that you guys play there, it's awesome. And I'm just saying that no matter what kind of music it is, it's all speaking about God and His love and His word and what He came to do and what, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Lewis, man, thanks for calling in and sharing your comments tonight. We're just about out of time, so we're going to have to move on, all right?
God bless.
All right, take care, Lewis. Darren, thanks so much for joining us tonight, man. Is there anything else that you want to add in, some closing thought that you want to share with people before we wrap things up tonight?
Yeah, my closing comments are, you know, God is reaching out to us. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "Hast thou not heard that God, the everlasting God, there's no searching his understanding," and it ends up with, you know, "they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength." So I just want all your listeners to know that God is like the Sprint commercial. And he's saying to you, "Can you hear me now?" and if you just listen, if God is talking to you through creation, God is talking to you through his angels, God is talking to you through his preachers and through his music and through holy hip hop. And if you would just open up your heart and open up your spiritual ears, then God is not just saying, "Can you hear me now?" But then when you answer yes, then God is saying it's good. And every good and perfect thing comes from God. So I thank you so much. I am blessed of the Lord to be with you tonight, and I praise God for you. I pray that this will not be our last contact. If you guys need me for anything, if I can do anything, I'd love to come down to New Mexico and see God's country down there in the Southwest. And please, let's just keep this thing going, because God is good, and God is good all the time, and he is the author and finisher of our faith, and I just praise God for this opportunity.
I think I can offer up a big amen to that, or should I say, since it's hip-hop church night, word. All right, Darren, thanks so much. And hold on just a second. I want to chat with you just a little bit more after the show's over. I would like to leave with everyone a thought from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Despite some of the things I might have said tonight, I don't want anyone to think that I'm down on the whole idea of an alternative church. You know, if you go to a church and they preach the word, if they are sound in their biblical doctrine, and it's a church that fits you, well, I think that's awesome. The truth of the matter is, there is a place for you in God's family, all right? There is a place for everyone in God's family, regardless of what your background is, if it's hip-hop, if it's from Canada like I am, no matter where you happen to be from, no matter what your background is, there is a place for you in God's family. And I don't want anyone to leave the show tonight thinking anything else, all right? God has a place for you as his child, as his son, as his daughter. And be that in the hip-hop church, be it in a Protestant church, be it in a Catholic church, be it in Baptist, you know, whatever, there is a place for you, for those who want to seek God, to see his face, and all the more as we see the day approaching. We don't know how much time we have left on this earth. The time is short. Find a place in God's family, because there is a place for you, and your eternity will be secure. And if you have more questions about this, you can always send us an email, studio@m88.org. If you want to know how you can be in God's family, how you can join that family, send us an email, studio@m88.org, and we will tell you how you can find your place in God's family. Now, next week, Darren brought it up a little bit, how MySpace is a great place to stay in touch with young people. M88 is on MySpace now, and I know that's caused some stir. And so next week, we will take your questions. If you're a concerned parent and you want to know why M88 would be on something like MySpace, we're going to talk about that next week. If you're a young person who has some concerns, if you're someone who wants to know, is MySpace safe, if you want to understand how MySpace works, we're going to discuss all that. Since M88 is now there, we feel it's our responsibility to be good stewards of that, and not only to use it for the benefit, but to warn people of the dangers. So we'll be talking about M88 and MySpace, and whether or not stuff like this website, the internet, and whatnot can be used as tools for God's kingdom, kind of like hip-hop, like we talked about tonight. Thanks for joining us for Raw Talk, and I hope you guys have a shway week in the Lord. We'll see you next week, Sunday night, 7 p.m., Raw Talk on M88.